I want to read that passage again, and I have to say that the prayer that we that I just prayed for us to have help in this passage sort of divides prayer into two different kinds of ways if you're teaching about prayer. One kind of prayer is technique. Well, let's have a sweet hour of prayer. Set my alarm, and I'll just sit here for 1 hour and pray. Well, that doesn't mean God's going to show up. If God shows up, you'll be happy, and an hour will go by real fast. But if God doesn't show up, you've just wasted your hour. So there's a lot of techniques that we can try on prayer, but the most important part is God's empowerment through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what we're going to be talking about, God's empowerment. So I'm going to read both those verses, the first one I read before, and the next one, in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, this passage, or these two verses, talk about God empowering us. Because if you think about it, just this question, do I know how to pray the right way? Do I know how to pray the right way? Oh, I know how to pray the right way. No. We can say, well, I know what the Lord taught me, how to teach, taught me the Lord's Prayer. If I pray that, that's the right way. But what about what to pray for specific things? Do you know how to pray for those things? How to pray for different aspects of your life? Do you know the perfect way of praying? And we have to say what this verse says. No, we don't. We don't, but the Spirit enables us. Prayer is so important to God that He gives us His Spirit to teach us how to pray. He gives us His Spirit to empower our prayer life. And that's the important thing that I want us to get out of this. We have to think about how God empowers our prayer life. Now, first of all, we see one aspect of it in this passage, through groaning prayer. And in the last service, Terry, who had to leave early because of his son leaving, Terry had us have a time of silence. And he says, and if there's any groaning in your heart, just let that groaning be expressed to the Lord. I think it's a little bit more than that sometimes. If you get on your knees and you are just overburdened with something emotional on your heart, a grief or a pain, it could be relational, it could be physical, it could be any way, and you just say, oh God, oh. What does the oh mean? Well, we don't know how to translate that. What does oh mean? It's an expression of your emotions, and you can't even translate it. You don't even know what it is. That's a little bit like what this groaning is, and it could be pretty severe. I'm a labor nurse, and so I do labor and delivery with ladies, and they go through a lot of we call it maternal moaning. It's really groaning, but it's maternal moaning. And we don't try to stop it. I mean, we can give them medication so they can feel better, but sometimes the medication wears off and they're back to their moaning again. We have to close the door. We don't want other people to be afraid, and we say, that's just part of the process, right? The groaning and the moaning and the pushing the baby out. Well, the most sad thing is when a lady comes in there, no one to labor with her. She's alone. And that's really, really sad. She's just groaning there and she's alone. Well, there's these people called doulas. Have you ever heard of a doula? The doula in the Greek word doula means servant. And what a doula does, she is trained to come in and be a coach for that lady. And she coaches that lady through her labor and her breathing and helps her get through labor, and she's not alone. The Holy Spirit is a little bit like that with us. except more so, because the Holy Spirit enables our groaning and allows and sort of helps that groaning to get into the ears of Father God so that that prayer is heard. And you know, Paul expressed this where he said, I continue to groan. You know, the labor doesn't stop with the birth. The labor goes on. You have to keep on raising these children that you gave birth to. And Paul said that he was, as in the pains of childbirth, he was groaning in himself to try to bring forth the church that he was writing to bring them forth in Christ, to help them to be born in Christ, to grow up in Christ. And that's what groaning prayer is about. It's not by getting born again. You hopefully are already born again and you have Christ in your heart. But it's about growing in Christ. It's about getting to a place where Christ is effective in your life. And that is what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, bringing that groaning into our life. There's another way like this, a little bit like this. And it's called the prayer language. It's in 1 Corinthians 14. The really sad thing about the prayer language, or it's called in Scripture speaking in tongues, the really sad thing about it is it's a controversial among Christians. There's one group of Christians who that's all they talk about. You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to speak in tongues. And they've emphasized it. They've overemphasized it so much that it's almost like a fanaticism. Then there's this other side, and these people are saying, oh no, that's of the devil. That's the work of the devil. Those are totally two extremes. But Paul was not extreme on this. In fact, if you read the rest of the Bible, you'll not find anything except in the book of Acts where it started off. You'll not find anything about speaking in tongues. It was common. It was so common that they didn't have to talk about it. It was just a common thing. It wasn't overemphasized. It was a prayer language. You could pray. Paul said, don't forbid speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is good. I wish you could all speak in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. Your spirit is built up. You're edified in your spirit because your mind is not. You don't even know what you're saying. Just like groaning. You don't know what is being expressed when you groan before God. Oh, try to translate that. You can't. In speaking in tongues, there can actually be someone that can translate it. And then you understand what the person is praying for. But what's really important, why Paul emphasized it, was because it builds up the inner person. But it's not the only thing. In fact, he wanted them to speak. He said, I will pray with my mind and my spirit. With my spirit, I will sing and I'll sing with my mind. And both were important. And, of course, it's more private to have this. But the Holy Spirit gives it because sometimes we do not know what we're supposed to pray for. Now, not everybody gets this. Some people say, oh, everybody should have the gift of tongues. Should they? Do all speak with tongues? Do all have the gift of healing? We have to look what the Scripture says. And Paul said, not everybody gets this. But if you want it, then pray for it. And if God gives it to you, fine. If not, there's a whole bunch of other ways. There's the groaning. But there's one more way, or another way. God enables you with intelligible words to speak. And we think about what Jesus promised to the apostles. When he said, you will be brought before governors and kings who want to persecute you, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what you're supposed to say. In other words, these will be words that the Holy Spirit gives you. Intelligible words that you can speak and you know what you're talking about when you say those words before those governors and kings. That's what Jesus promised. Now, if he promised that before these governors, these mediocre, lowly governors, because in comparison to the big dignitary, God himself, that's much, much higher. God is much, much higher. What do we say when we come before the big dignitary, God? Now we have to really worry about what we're going to... No, we don't, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. God is so concerned about our prayer life that he has given himself. He has given the Holy Spirit to empower our prayer life so we can pray in the right way before Him, the greatest dignitary in the universe. That's wonderful. Well, the Holy Spirit can put words in our mouths in that way. And that's wonderful. But there's a difference. There's a difference between saying, "Let me give you what to say," and "Let me show you how to say it." And that's what the Holy Spirit is really concerned. Holy Spirit wants to show us what to say. When Rosemary and I go to these camps called CFO camps, they have a prayer time and they call it the prayer laboratory. You say, the prayer laboratory? Yes. So you can experiment and learn new things about prayer. And we've learned many, many new things about prayer. Some of these are just techniques. But I have to say that what the Holy Spirit wants to do is take us into the laboratory of kingdom prayer so that we can He can show us and teach us how to pray in the right way to God. He wants to empower us for prayer. And there's one other way. And this, I think, is probably the most important way. Yes, the groaning is important when we don't know what to say. Yes, a prayer language is often helpful. When I was 17 years old, during that charismatic movement, I asked for the prayer language and I got it. And I've been praying whenever I need to, I just pray in that prayer language and that's fine. Not everybody gets it. It just blessed my life. Then there's other ways of prayer where you know what you're praying before the Holy Spirit gives you the words. If you really want to do that sometimes, just take the Bible. That's His Word. And then ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to pray those Scriptures to God. That's one way you can do it. But there's another way. And that is through the renewing of our minds. The Holy Spirit wants to renew our thinking. And here's what it says in Ephesians. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. And then he says in the verses following, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Having a renewed thinking pattern. That's what God really, really wants to establish by the Holy Spirit in our minds. A renewed thinking pattern. And what the Holy Spirit is doing is aligning our thinking, our minds, aligning our thinking to God's will. Romans chapter 12 says this in verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do we want to pray in the will of God? Yes, we do. And we know that when we pray in the will of God, we will have the things that are asked of Him. That's what it says. If we pray according to God's will, we will have the things that we ask, it says in John. Well, what we want to do is to yield ourselves. It has to be our job to surrender ourselves, and here it says our bodies in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So when we give our bodies, what are we doing? We're giving our activity. Our bodies are active. We give our... What do we do? We give our activity to God. We give our location to God. Our bodies are always in a location. Are we going to go into this time of prayer in a prayer room or sitting on the couch and use this location as a time of prayer? How long do we spend there? Time. We give our time to God. The minutes go by. Our body gets older, doesn't it? It's a minute older than it was a minute ago. And we give our time to God. How long do we spend in prayer? The Lord doesn't say an hour. It could be 3 hours. It could be 3 minutes. And it's what's important is to submit and surrender our bodies to God. That's our job, surrendering ourselves. And not to be conformed to the worldly patterns of prayer. You know, there's worldly patterns of prayer. People might pray the prayer, God, help our team to win. What? Sports? Help our team to win? No, God's going to let them do the best they can. I don't think God... Well, He may. He may help them to win, if that's what He wants to do. But I don't think that's a worldly prayer. Or, God, I don't like my house. It's not pretty enough. I want a new house. I want a bigger house. And so I can put more stuff in my house, you know? You know, we might pray those kinds of prayers. Those are worldly prayers. What do we want to pray? Jesus taught us. He said, not my will, but thine be done. He also taught us in the Lord's Prayer, thy will, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's kingdom prayer. God's will being done. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to give us by renewing our minds. Prayer is an adventure of a lifetime, and it's supposed to last for our whole lifetime. But if we're on an adventure in unknown territory sometimes, we need a guide. And we have the best guide. It is the guide, the Holy Spirit. He is our advocate and our guide. And that's why we need His help. We need His help for this empowerment of prayer. Being empowered in prayer. Prayer is like our essential lifeline with God. It's like a lifeline we hold on to. In the strength of prayer, we hold on to that lifeline with God. Now, some people need to establish the lifeline. They don't even have a lifeline with God because they have never asked Jesus into their hearts. They need to do that first and establish the lifeline. But then it goes on the whole of life. The groaning goes on. The prayer language goes on. The Lord giving us words that we can pray, maybe through Scripture, maybe just through our minds. Or He can give us a new mind so that what we pray for is His will. His will, not our own. Conform to His will. So, this lifeline of prayer, is so important to God. He knows it's so important for our spiritual lives, and He knows it's so important for the kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom of God that He gives us Himself. He gives us Himself through the Holy Spirit to empower our prayer, to maintain our prayer life all of our lives. The Holy Spirit is there. You don't have to worry. I mean, you can come before God and say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. Fine. All you need to do is sit there and wait and say, Lord, teach me to pray. And He will. He will empower you for prayer. Maybe it will be groans. Maybe He will give you a prayer language. That will be a wonderful thing. Maybe He will give you words to pray. Maybe He will show you a scripture that you open the scripture and those are the exact words that need to be prayed for that situation. But His main thing, I believe, is to renew our minds so we always think upon Him. That's for our minds to be aligned with the mind of heaven. Think about that. How wonderful that is. That's what God wants to help us with. So let's pray for His help. Father God, thank You so much for this scripture. Thank You so much for this message. Thank You that You are willing to help us. You are wanting to help us. You want that in our lives. You want to establish that lifeline, and You want to keep that lifeline strong in prayer. So You've given us Your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father God, for the help of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. We don't know what we need to pray for. Every day we get up, we don't know what's going to face us in that day. We need to have Your power, Your empowerment through the Holy Spirit. Teach us how to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.